Welcome back to Mulder, It's Us, an X-Files podcast with Candy and Jen. I'm Jen.
I'm Candy.
And tonight we're going to be talking about episode 4 of season 10 of the X-Files, entitled Home Again. So Candy, what's your overall read of this episode?
I want to love it. Mm-hmm. I really, really wanted to love it. I kind of loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably pretty good. I didn't hate it.
Right.
It felt a little like there was too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, the two separate storylines, what's going on with Scully and her mom, and what's going on with the big bad and the case. It was a lot of information. So it did feel almost like the case was wrapped up way too easily, and like it ended way too quickly. And mm-hmm. That bugged me a little bit, but I think all the stuff, the personal stuff that happened was very important, and I really liked it. So...
Yeah.
You know, I can't complain,
mm-hmm.
unless maybe I just did a little bit.
No. I actually, it's funny because Josh had asked me earlier if he's like, oh, I heard last night's episode was really good. People on the internet are really liking it. I'm like, huh. I'm like, well, it is a good episode. I think it's a really well done episode. I think it's a really important episode, especially all of the, the more personal issues. That Scully was dealing with, but I can't say I enjoyed it. I mean, it was so painful. I mean, like from the very beginning.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just being forced to deal with uncomfortable stuff. You know, us killing our planet, us discarding things. You know,
right.
The neglect of the homeless population, all this stuff, and then so using this as a metaphor. You know, to bring Scully to this point of enlightenment, it just seemed kind of, it was very painful to watch.
Yeah, it was really, really heavy. Something they've always done really well is parallel what's happening in mm-hmm. real time with what's happening on the show. So,
right.
And of course, it was great. I mean, it was written, it was Glenn Morgan directed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a great episode. And of course, it was all good. It was all just good stuff.
Right.
The garbage, that whole, I thought the case was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wish I had been able to see more of the case,
mm-hmm.
which I also saw a whole bunch of stuff today about people questioning how much they're going to get done in these six episodes, because that was episode 4. And
right.
So they're playing up all this mm-hmm. kind of big stuff. And are they going to accomplish it? And that's kind of how I felt at the end of the episode was,
yeah.
Wait a minute. So I didn't get... as much as I would have wanted from this case itself. Mm-hmm. And I think I got as much as I would have wanted from the interactions between them and her mom and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everything did feel like it could have been, that could have been two episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
It could have. I mean, in a season, you know, back in 2002, when they ran 24 to 26 episodes, absolutely would have been two. And
right.
And both would have been extremely satisfactory. It was frustrating and all so heavy. But there were still some really wonderful classic moments.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, some reoccurring themes that, you know, have been carried through. And then just some great exchanges. So, I don't know, you want to just jump in and go chronologically?
Well, I can start with my favorite moments. If you're okay with that, those I always write down.
Of course.
I always get that part of my note process completed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the very beginning, of course, when, you know, their FBI badges were over their faces and the detective looks up, that was great. But I absolutely loved when he says, you know, I heard that you deal with these spooky cases. And I love Mulder's face, which is just kind of like, meh, sort of.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Meh.
Beautiful. And even like the subtle smirk on her, like her eyes just kind of like, right. Yeah, you could say right. So.
Tell me about it, guy.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, see that like a moment like that was great. What else you got? I don't want to jump on
I
you.
Have that moment when she's in the hospital, and this was in all the trailers, when Mulder calls and he says, I'm here, and then they cut to the doors and he's standing outside for her. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Yeah. That was very, tugged at my heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah.
I for sure was, again, this was such a heavy episode. I mean, the second, you know, she gets the phone call about her mom and then she's going down the stairs and they have that body camera happening, just all the tears.
That was amazing. Yeah. And that was the thing. It's like they, for an episode where they, I'm not going to say rushed, but definitely put a lot in there.
Yeah.
The fact that they still took time and care to, you know, immerse you in that feeling of disorientation and like shock and shakiness. It mm-hmm. was so well done.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. Someone had said this online. I think it was posted today, but how this episode was just a brilliant showcase for Gillian Anderson.
Oh my god,
she's fantastic in mm-hmm. everything. But mm-hmm. it was great. It was great for Scully. It was great for her. Mm-hmm. It's as if she doesn't have enough pain happening.
Oh yeah,
as an actor, she just so much was happening in this episode for her. I think she was brilliant as usual.
Yeah, I mean the scene when spoilers, because we're kind of jumping around right now. But, you know, the scene when her mom passes and then they're wheeling in the gurney because, you know, they're going to harvest her organs. And, you know, she freaks out. It is one of the few times where she is not in control of her emotions. Like, you know, mm-hmm. she's always dealing with stuff. You always know, you know, she's a human being. She has feelings. She's a sensitive person and she can get hurt. But to just see her like break like that was so
right because she's so put together. She's so in control. Yeah. Yeah,
and you know, a person of faith, but primarily a person of science. And then when she just kind of has that little freak out, she's like, "I need to go. We need to go. I need to work."
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh,
which was also talked about quite a bit on the webs today. Basically. And this stuff, I think I'm going to say a few things here that the shippers are going to love. First of all, that moment, because the way he's holding her and she tugs at his tie and his shirt, and she's just, mm-hmm. she knows it's okay to be like that with him, which is not that she wouldn't have been years ago. I mean, again, we talked about this before, but in seasons 1 and 2, mm-hmm. they just put these two characters through the ringer. Mm-hmm. So we know that they're there for each other. But you can see... Mm-hmm. And you've seen it in all of these episodes, but you can see the time that we didn't see them, mm-hmm. that there's stuff there.
Oh, yeah. They're still feeling. And it's like even when she gets the first call from her brother and she has to leave the scene and the way he kind of holds her arm and is just there, you know, not hugging her, but just like physically protecting her, like protecting her space, making sure... you know, she's free and clear to go safely and comfortably. And it was like little unspoken things like that were so beautiful.
Good eye.
You know,
good eye that on that one, moment.
Oh my God. I got goosebumps. Yeah. That's the first time I got a little teary-eyed. And then when they're sitting, at her mom's bedside and this is actually kind of a mix of the two, but you know, and she's talking about, you know, she's like, oh, did you ever master willing somebody back, you know, from the dead? And he's like, oh God, what did he say?
Wait, I actually have it queued up right here to give you the actual words. She says, back in the day, did we ever come across the ability to just wish someone back to life? And he says,
I invented it
when you were in the hospital like this. And,
Her response to him, though, calling him a dark wizard.
Come on.
And then he just giggles. It is so natural. It's so honest.
And it's just such a comfortable mm-hmm. moment. There is no, and part of this is aging and, mm-hmm. and knowing someone for so long, but there's no point in their relationship now where there's ever, there ever feels like there's a need to hold back or they're
or
so
hide
comfortable
anything.
With each other.
I don't think they could hide anything anymore.
No.
I mean, that's like a fantastic place.
And
to
it's
be.
Another real thing. Right. Yeah. It's another, these characters are so real, it's almost disgusting.
Yeah.
I do have, let's see, as we're talking about all this stuff. I have two more little things. One is something that I loved that I think maybe people who didn't watch the first nine seasons mm-hmm. might have not understood mm-hmm. is the scene with the two of them. They're in the hall at the hospital right after he gets there, and he's kind of filling her in on the case. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of fills in on what's going on with her mom. Mm-hmm. It's this conversation that someone who doesn't know the dynamic of these characters and their relationship together might think of as callous. Because he's giving her detail, you know,
he's
unnecessary
her.
Details. But really, I felt that it was more about this is how they work. I mean, mm-hmm. he's going to tell her his questions and she's mm-hmm. going to tell him her questions, whatever mm-hmm. the reason may be,
yep.
whatever's going on.
Whether it's personal or professional.
This is how they talk and they work and they bounce things off of each other. And I just thought it was, it just felt good and normal and comfortable and really normal to me. Yeah. And I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, that's been their existence and that's going to, you know, hopefully continue to be their existence. And
right. I mean, two episodes left.
I know.
Gone too soon.
In
the initial, some of the stuff that I put online about us doing this podcast, I did kind of list all of these questions, you know, things we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. So far, we've covered two of them, okay. Which is the lone gunman and coping with that and Skinner mm-hmm. being sexy. This one, actually, I'm so happy. I mean, I wish it wasn't in such a horrible way, but I'm so happy that Bill Scully kind of came up again because I hate that guy. I hate that guy so much. And you're supposed to. He's supposed to be kind of a D-bag. And I love how it was just a phone interaction with him. Mm-hmm. You don't hear him speak. You only get her side of the conversation. But
you can
tell.
See. Yeah.
That he's being a friggin' snot.
I know.
Again.
And I did write that down here. I was like, what do you mean? Just get your butt over there. What do you mean? Is she going to die before I get there? I mean, you're like, oh my gosh. Okay, fine. You're in Germany, whatever. Or I think they said he was in Germany.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's like, it's your mom.
Like, stop.
You know, leave now.
Attitude on him. Yeah. Like, I can't. I just want to slap him. He wasn't even there. And I wanted to slap him as per usual. So good for them again for just keeping the continuity up. And all these characters feel exactly the same as they did, you know, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. And you can imagine he's even more of a D-bag because he's even more absorbed in his own life in another country with, I mean, they probably have like 8 kids now.
Oh, I just always wanted to slap him so hard. I mean, he was in, what, 3 episodes? And, like, I hated that guy.
There was a smugness to him.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. There was kind of a smugness, and I think because I had watched it again not too long ago, was Christmas Carol. And, you know, she's hearing, you know, their dead sister, and she's like, you know, this child needs my help. And at this point, she doesn't know. She still believes that she's Melissa's child.
Right.
And then, okay, we're totally off the rails
here.
But that's okay. and then he's like, listen, I know you're sad because you feel like you have this void in your life, but you just have to move on. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. Your wife is pregnant with your first child. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It took you a little while to conceive. So your wife's pregnant with your first child. You know she can't have children, and you know she's struggling with this, you know, also the loss of her sister. And then this other thing comes up, and he's just like, get over it.
I hate that guy.
I have no idea.
About him, his face, his attitude. You know, I get that he's the older brother, mm-hmm. but he's still just this condescension in everything he says, and how he just assumes, especially in that episode, very particularly, mm-hmm. how he just assumes he always knows everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And even in this episode, when he's obviously asking, you know, is she going to die before I get there? Should I even bother, or is she going to croak?
Yeah.
You know, again, it's that assumption of, well, this is what the situation must be, so either I come or I don't. Yeah. I know what's going on. It's one or the other. And I just hate that guy. I can't help myself. And I was so happy that he showed up so I could talk about how much he makes my skin crawl and want to punch things.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then we got to hear from the other brother.
Which
I don't think we'd ever heard him speak before.
No.
That was weird.
I forgot all about the other brother.
I totally forgot about it. Because honestly, I didn't catch it. Okay, so when I first watched it, but you know, years and years and years ago, I never caught it. And it wasn't until, because it's like, they talked about him, but never really like, Although she does mention, you know, at one point, you know, oh, my younger, you know, I have an older.
Right.
Older
I don't.
In the younger brother.
I don't think we ever heard his name, though. I could be wrong, but.
I think I want to say, because I did look it up, and I want to say, like, in one of the Christmas episodes, it was like, oh, we got gifts from Charlie or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And it was just this throwaway line. And if you did not know, but apparently we did see him at, like, her dad's funeral or something. But. Although it's only speculation because it looked like mostly family there. And then there was another person who would have been about the right age with the woman and two children. So again.
Right.
Anyhow. Yeah. But I mean, I understand why they went there to get to the point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But okay. Well, here,
I have one more thing. I am so sorry. This was also kind of a shippy Mulder Scully thing.
Yeah.
The fact that, of course, that she grabs, you know, Mulder's hand in the hospital, Margaret. But also that scene you were talking about where they go to wheel her away. She's an organ donor. And Mulder's response of, you know, Margaret's an organ donor. They have to take her right now. It's just, it's so obvious that in all these years we haven't seen them, both between the end of the series and the second movie and to now. He's, you know,
he knows everything
they're
about
part
their
of
lives.
Each other. Yeah, absolutely. And it was, again, just so
family.
Comfortable and sweet.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. The cat just jumped up. Oh, and there he goes.
Oh, and he's done with us. Okay. That was it.
I was going to say, we're going to have a third co-host on the air tonight. There's some other stuff. There's a couple of little things, but like more, I would say more like Easter eggy things, but we can get to them later. But okay, to start off the episode, we see a bunch of homeless people being abused and getting noticed that they're all getting moved out to another part of town. It's this whole, you know, relocation process, and, you know, there's three developers and they're gonna, you know, turn the homeless shelter or that area into condos and or mall, whatever. So the first victim is one of the developers.
Who's a big jerk. Yeah.
Who looked really familiar, but I don't know what I know him from.
Yeah, he's kind of been all over stuff. Okay. I absolutely recognize him, too.
Okay, so the big jerk, you know, homeless people, out of here, see you later. We are taking care of you, but, yeah, don't really expect any help from us. Goes up to his office, and this very large, garbagey-looking person comes up and proceeds to rip his arms off.
Oh, which
and
was
his head.
So cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. Man, they really are bringing the the icky gross in such a perfect perfect level.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah. And then so it does that. And then Mulder and Scully are called. And why are they called right away?
The detective just says, like, I heard. It's pretty close.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's not in D.C., but it's close.
This is Philadelphia.
It's in Philadelphia, that's right.
Yes. Well, that was the other thing, too. So that was, like, one of the first things that struck me. Okay, so, like, you see this, the very first image you see is a giant billboard that's like, it's your responsibility. And then here are homeless people getting literally hosed off of the street.
Oh, it was,
like, washed down the street like garbage. And then
it was very powerful, extremely. Whole scene was very heart wrenching.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I really think it was a well done, good episode. But I can't say it made me feel great.
Right.
And this is also again in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. What better place than to treat humans like waste? So we've got the trash man.
Right.
Oh, you were going to say something?
No, I'll say it later.
Okay.
No, because you're on a roll and you are totally way better at this part than I am, so
no,
please.
It's okay. Again, I do like a stream of consciousness notes just so that I can follow the chronology of it. Mulder and Scully come. They have that great little exchange with the detective. And then they're investigating it. And she's like, yeah, not really hacked up, more torn apart. Where's the head? Head's in the garbage bin.
Which is a very X-Files thing.
Oh, yeah.
Something is always missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something's always missing. Lots of blood and all that stuff. And of course, Mulder has to make the joke about it being in the wrong recycling bin and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's when we then hear from William. However, it's William Scully, not just William, as her phone keeps appearing to her.
Right.
But before we go, you did have, what was, you had a thought?
Well, I was just going to say, that character from the very beginning, the first victim, not sure if this is why you recognize him.
Uh-huh.
I think so. I recognized him from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Yes, he was Data. He was like the, okay. the
Gata?
Bridge guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He was,
he
the,
was
guy
like
that,
the Scotty?
A little.
Okay.
Yeah, like he was, like, he like ran. Him. Yeah, oh, okay. He wasn't, you know, Admiral Dama. He wasn't the next guy. He was like operations guy.
All right, don't hate me. I've only seen the first
totally
three
okay.
episodes.
But that's what I recognized him.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Because I'm like, he's somebody. He looks like somebody to me, and I don't know who.
Yeah. Alessandro Giuliani is his name.
It's a good name.
It is a good name.
It's a very, very good name. Okay. So, Scully gets the first of many calls from William. Yeah. My heart kind of sank a little bit there. And because it was no, based on, you know, what we had seen already in the season, we knew this was her William, not, you know, not a brother.
Right.
Not anybody else. There was no, but then when she looked at it again, it was William Scully. I'm like, okay, fine. But he, because it does happen again, does this mean we're going to see William?
Oh, I hope so. I really hope, because like people are saying, we only have so many episodes, blah, blah, blah. That's one thing they can give us some sort of closure on, whether it's, I mean, sad to say, but whether it's, you know, William's dead or, you know, William's here, maybe they don't ever see him. Right. Maybe they don't physically see him, but they learn something that seems to be the only thing they can actually close out. And I hope they do.
I know. I know. I'm back and forth on it because, you know, Is it realistic? Is it going to be satisfying?
Right.
Is it just going to be more heartache? If they see, you know, he's doing well, but they can't communicate, they can't, you know, tell him who they are. I mean, who knows? It's just like there's, I do have confidence that whatever happens, it will be done very, very well.
Yeah, because no matter what, that they are handling things so well. Yeah. I mean, the through lines and even all these actors that they've got back to play these characters that we all love, and they're here for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing and what they've done. So I would hope that it would be done well.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say done properly because there are so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. Part of me feels like I hope like Skinner kept tabs. And I hope that like Skinner knows where he is. Aww. And I, something like that, just enough to say he's safe.
Right.
Because, you know, we know because they started out this revival season with mythology stuff. So we know that even though the syndicate is gone and all this other stuff has kind of ended, there are other things going on. And William does have,
there's still a force out there.
Does have this alien vibe. So he would be important still to somebody, especially since CSM is still around. So
he'd still be on somebody's radar,
right?
And they would want him for something.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but she is instantly snapped out of that because it's her brother calling, and it turns out that her mother had a heart attack and is in a coma. So she rushes off to the hospital. We've talked about those very telling, tender moments between Mulder and Scully, and I really am impressed at how much, you know, now as we're talking about it, I'm really impressed at how much they did get in this episode.
Yeah.
So back to the investigation of the trash man and, you know, Mulder finds the Band-Aid. They do a thing on it, but there's no human or there's no DNA on it. So now they, you know, they're kind of at a loss for who the killer is.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Scully, she's back at the hospital. And she talks to the nurse, or she's at the hospital now for the first time. She talks to the nurse, and the nurse is like, oh, I didn't know she had a daughter. She's only asked for her son, Charlie. That was a nice kick to the gut.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard. That was like one of the first of like, okay, this is not going to end well moments.
Yeah, no, and
it's like the first indication that
there's questions here. There's a lot here, which they've done. I mean, they did the same thing with Mulder's father, and you know, all of this stuff. So they're very good at kind of illuminating the fact that we all have secrets, mm-hmm. and no matter how close we think we are to each other, there is always something. We all have our own stuff going on, mm-hmm. and they did it very, very well.
Yeah.
Really, Margaret was the only person, well, and Melissa. I loved her sister, Melissa, of course. Mm-hmm. But the only character, the only family relative, you know, from both mm-hmm. of them that, like, I liked. Like, everybody sucked. Mulder's mom sucked. His dad sucked. Mm. Bill sucks. Scully's father is already dead when the show starts. And you get Melissa, who's adorable, and murder the crap out of her. Yeah. So, like, it was hard, I think, for us, too, because really, Margaret was the only character in their lives outside of each of them that we could connect with. She was in enough episodes to connect with. Mm-hmm. She didn't treat Mulder like crap, which Bill did. So I think this was hard for all of us because really this is it. This is the last piece.
Right.
She doesn't talk to Bill. She doesn't talk to Charlie, apparently. And he has no family left. And it's the only family they do have left other than each other is their son. So I think this was really hard to handle as a fan.
Yeah, it was one of those moments when it was like, oh, okay, you don't have to be so real life right now. Like, I don't need this dose of reality.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And yeah, you're right. She was always so accepting. But I mean, but she also, like, Margaret also saw what Mulder has done for Dana over these years.
Yeah,
like,
she's been around.
I call her Dana because that's what her mother called her. Yeah. Because, I mean, and there was a lot. There was, like, she saw them through some of their worst times. Maybe not the worst, but some of the worst times. Like,
right. She was very, very present in their lives during the time when they were together, whereas you know, the other family members really weren't.
Yeah.
And it was hard to see her laying there because she was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt a little like Scully. Like, what do I do? I don't. She's laying in this bed and I don't know how to handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that was, and especially for, you know, somebody like Scully who's, you know, she's a medical professional, like, and she fixes things and she solves things and that's what she does. And, you know, having no chance of being able to do that was very, very hard to watch.
Yeah.
Speaking of hard to watch, now we're back to the homeless situation again. Turns out nobody wants the homeless in their backyard.
Right.
Like, that's essentially what it comes down to. There's two sides of town, and, you know, you've got these people that I'm like, well, we need them gone because we're going to, you know, make money. And the other people like, well, no, they can't come to, you know, they need to stay in the downtown area. They can't come to the beautiful suburbs because now the new shelter will only be a couple of blocks from the school. And apparently the homeless are going to sell drugs to the school kids or guns or what? I understand. Nobody wants the homeless in their backyards, but And I know that's what they're, you know, they're making us think about that. They're making us acknowledge this. And it's very, very uncomfortable. So.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, here, we'll just keep going with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So the head of the PTA or whatever her school district woman there who was saying...
Oh, I think she's a DA.
She's a DA.
Yeah, I think she's an attorney. I think she's like an attorney for that area.
Like the PTA.
Like that district or whatever.
Or council or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's got this, you know, picture-perfect little life in the suburbs, and she's driving home, and she's not having it in her neighborhood, so now she's leaving, and she is the next victim of the Band-Aid man. Or Band-Aid, what do they call him?
I think it was signed Trash Man, which was the artist, but he called him like the Band-Aid Nose.
Band-Aid Nose Man.
Yes, 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 yes.
Which was another really cool scene. It's very, like, you see, you know, the excess of, you know, consumerism. You see the excess of waste in our disposable society.
Oh, she has the coffee pots.
Everything from cups to yogurt, like everything. You know, very much on the nose.
All those little things we don't think about, which the artist mentions later on, which is we don't think about this stuff.
No,
it's convenient.
Because it gets taken away from us and we don't have to think about it. And again, I think that's part of the, you know, that definitely contributes to the disturbing nature of this episode.
Yeah.
So But then big, icky, band-aid nose man comes to her into her home and starts leaving little droppings and maggots and all that stuff. I really loved that scene.
Oh, and it was
when
like
she looks up.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And I really love the way they use the music. And that like really brought me back. Like having this fun, loud, sweet poppy song just, you know, to just kind of drown out everything that all of the ugliness that's going on.
Right.
It's like it reminded me of like they did a similar thing in Home.
Yes.
With the music there, the same thing with you know, Postmodern Prometheus. Like pop music, whether it was from the 60s, 70s, or 80s, was used in such a beautiful way to kind of like be this like loud booming cloud over the most uncomfortable.
Right, just the juxtaposition
of
the light and the dark and what's happening right in front of us and what's happening underneath the surface and all of these things. And yeah, it was that whole scene was almost shot for shot parallel to Home.
Yeah,
and it was
great. It was so good. Oh, right, the intruder in the home and then the, you know, they didn't show her graphic demise, but we knew.
No, but we hear it?
We heard it.
Oh, and then you just see him putting her in the little trash compactor.
Oh, yes, with all of her debris from the evening.
All of her plastic.
Wasn't that amazing?
Killing the planet crap. She goes right on top of it in pieces.
She's just another piece of garbage.
That was brilliant.
It was so well done. It was really good. But then like, kind of, so I've had that song in my head all day and I'm like, you know, downtown, everything's great when you're downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sing. But anyhow, I thought that was so well done. I really, really liked that. So I think she gets discarded. Then are we back to the hospital again? She sees William on the phone again.
Possibly, yeah, because I think that happens before they go back to fit. I think Mulder's, they're both at the hospital still.
Right.
They go back and... Right. I think that's actually probably...
Well, that's when she's talking to her brother, Bill.
Yes, and then there was the moment when Margaret wakes up.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. You go right ahead with that, because I can't deal.
So, okay, so Scully finally gets her brother Charlie on the phone, and she's like, she's been asking for you. You're the only one she's been asking for. I need you to talk to her, because, you know, maybe this will bring her out of it. So, puts the phone up to... her ear, she starts talking and he starts talking and then she opens her eyes and she sees him, but she's not quite aware of exactly who they are. She calls Mulder her son William. No, her grandson William.
Well, right. For there's that moment where you think, because she says, my son, his name is William too. And she's looking at Mulder and holding Mulder's hand. And there's a moment when before she says that you think she's confused, that she thinks Mulder is Charlie and he's there. And but then you get
like,
it when she
William
finishes
too.
That line.
Yeah.
And her grandson.
And
she doesn't say that to Scully. She says it to Mulder, which is just feel like there's all these years where like they had Christmas together and like she came over for dinner and like they already had a really great rapport towards, you know, going towards the end of the series. But
You
feel like over all this time, they've developed even more of a relationship and she speaks to him and she brings up William and then she's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty hard.
That was really hard. That was, I mean, I knew that was, you know, we knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, seeing it and, you know, not everybody gets their happy ending. Not everybody gets their last wonderful goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And all I kept thinking was, how much more are they going to heap on Scully? Like, how much more?
Oh, I mean, really?
And
how much more is she expected to handle X-Files people?
Yeah.
Like, that is enough.
She's already shown she can handle quite a bit. However, this is, that was really, really hard. But, you know, and then we see her kind of freak out and have that breakdown. And she's I can't do this. I can't be here. I need to work. So, you know, Scully does what she does to cope. She throws herself back into the case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when... they find the art dealer. Or the so They trace the paint. They trace the paint of the street artist who had been doing, you know, sign trash man. But when they find out who he is and he explains why he's doing what he's been doing, he is not taking credit for the art that was showing up after the murders.
Right, right. And and you've been given, so there's these two guys that keep stealing street art and selling them, or selling
it. I know, right.
Which is scuzzy.
That is really scuzzy.
Scuzzy.
Which makes me think it must be happening, because it would never cross my mind.
No, I would never even think of that. But, I mean, when you think about just the amount of photos of street art that are taken and then
printed and
framed. Right, it becomes so huge, it never even occurred to me that people are actually pulling down posters.
Yeah, or panels of wood or fences.
Ew, stop it, humans.
It's like it's up there for a reason.
Right, leave it alone. But that's what they get, because they take this giant chunk of a billboard and they, this guy, the Band-Aid nose guy, it's him.
Oh, that was actually, that kill was pretty awesome when he rips off the head and you see his spinal cord.
Yes, and then he just pulls both the guys out the door. That was great. Yeah. It was so great. Mm-hmm. And then they finally find the guy who is the artist that they're looking for.
The original trash man.
Very Banksy. Mm-hmm. Very, the Band-Aid man that you see on all of the paintings and stuff and on the billboards is a very Banksy style art.
It's like stenciled spray paint.
Yes, yeah. And they meet this guy who is, like you were saying, not taking responsibility.
Yeah.
And Scully is just not like, having that. Yeah. No. She's real attitude-y about it.
Yeah.
Because she has issues, like we all do.
Yeah. But it's during that conversation that she comes to identify, her issues.
Right.
And, basically recognize that she has to take responsibility.
She's very very introspective the whole time he's talking and kind of in a little bit of a ranty way. Yeah. And she's very quiet and she's kind of just.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, and he said, I didn't kill him, but, I didn't create him, but I thought it and then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of talking through it almost at the same time and realizing, well, wait a second, if I created it or I thought it or if I somehow manifested it by will, I am still responsible for what I put out there.
Right.
And again, like there are no veiled messages in this episode at all.
No, no.
It's all very, very straightforward. I do wish like some of it could have come out a little bit more naturally. So if they had more time over two episodes or something,
right,
to get to these points, it may have not been so burdening. I'm like,
yeah, because it was
seriously
so much at once. It was like getting between, the parallels with how humans suck and we're ruining everything.
And we throw away
what they're dealing with and then her mom dies and just all of these things, which really are parallels for all of our lives, very, very much so. I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself. Do I look in? Mm-hmm. Do I take an introspective moment and deal with my carbon footprint and how I deal with society? Or do I deal with Scully and Mulder and their kid? Do I deal with it? Like, there was so much happening.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting.
Oh, it was so exhausting. And you do. It's like, I'm like, okay, I try really hard. I rewash my plasticware from food, from my lunches at work, and I bring them back and I reuse all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we do, like, I think, the level of awareness on the planet is greater. And I do want to believe that most people do try in some way.
Right. And just this whole episode was just so culturally relevant. I think they did a fantastic job, but I'm so sorry. I keep pulling away from the linear thing we have going on here.
And it's like, and it will, if there is no linear nature to this episode, because it is
so much.
There is so much in there.
Ooh, I wonder if that was on purpose. Is there so much in the episode as a way of saying we have too much going on, too much to handle, too much around us, too much garbage, too much crap in general. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I think that's it.
That was on purpose.
I think I'm going to just like hang up my microphone right now and go take a nap.
I'm just going to go curl into a ball on the floor because I don't know. Exactly. I have to drive my car home and I feel real bad for driving a car. Like, I can't.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Band-Aid Nose Man is essentially the creation, you know, this sort of phantom that's brought to life by the will and thoughts of this artist. And it's manifested itself in a way that it's now performing some sort of vigilante justice. And right. So now there's one last one last developer. And actually, I take that back. We are now back at the hospital. Mom asked for Charlie. Nope, we already did this part. So we did jump
yes.
around.
Yes, okay, we did jump around.
So, okay.
Like crazy.
Yeah, all over the place. It's insane. It's insane. Okay, so now they know what's happening. They understand that, you know, this is not a real killer. It's not right. It's not an embodiment of it's not a human
which
who's
is,
killing.
Right, which is so nice because they come to this point yeah. and instead of having to learn about it, well, yeah. you know, the artist says it's mm-hmm. a tulpa, which yeah. if you're an X-Files fan or a Supernatural fan, you know what that be.
Absolutely.
And Mulder just immediately comes in and says, well, tulpa is actually a mistranslation of this word, which is just so cute because mm-hmm. it's become shorthand. And that's actually yeah. kind of nice. There was so much happening in the episode that yeah. it is nice that they don't need to
right.
explain all of that anymore. We mm-hmm. all accept that they have yeah. the shorthand and Mulder knows exactly. and the guy knows and that's enough. I don't need more of mm-hmm. an explanation.
Yep. So now they go to the old hospital, which is going to be the new housing project for the homeless people mm-hmm. or homeless shelter. And that's when the last developer is going to meet his demise.
Yeah, that was great too.
That was another one. Again, didn't see it happen, but you see the after. You're just seeing his body kind of piled up.
And that sound. Again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a sound, and then yeah. the guy's gone. Yeah.
And then, so after that, you see the artist, the trash man, pack up his stuff. He has now changed Band-Aid Nose Man into a giant smiley face.
Yes.
So now he's manifesting good.
Right.
So now
we're done.
Yeah, yeah. We're done here.
This is complete.
You know, whether that was his goal from the beginning to, you know, stop the abuse of the homeless people and, you know, the discarding of them,
mm-hmm.
whether or not that was, you know, his intentional end game or if he realized enough was enough, he stops it. So.
Right.
So now he takes off, he does his thing, and then we're left with a very nice, tender moment
mm-hmm.
between Scully and Mulder
yeah.
and Mrs. Mm. Scully's ashes.
Right. Which also, you know, again, felt a little quick to me. It felt like, okay, yeah. and now it's time for mm-hmm. this scene, and now it's time for right. this scene, and she's going to say this.
Right.
I do understand, you know, again, why it mm-hmm. was done that way. But it was very tender, and there is yeah. that moment where Scully says, you know, I don't know if you think about him. And now we all know that he has, because mm-hmm. we all saw that.
We saw that yeah.
Joe's dream sequences, so mm-hmm. we know that he has, and she right. says that, and he doesn't respond because he doesn't need to burden her with more, I
right.
think is kind of that moment.
Yeah, like sharing his own fears and, you know, hurt and, you know, all of his baggage isn't going to help her in the mm-hmm. moment. You know, especially, you know, as they were having the conversation with the trash man artist, you know, she realized, like, she has been carrying the guilt of essentially discarding her child.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of, you know, the intent.
Like, right.
I mean, of course, she was doing it to protect him. She was doing it to keep him safe. She was doing the most selfless thing by sacrificing, you know, her relationship with him
mm-hmm.
to ensure his health and well-being. And that, you know, nobody should ever have to make
no,
that choice.
No.
That is like horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah.
So now she's feeling, you know, no better than anybody else. But then as they're talking and, you know, she's also now come to the realization that the reason her mother asked for Charlie was because she had created him. Essentially, she created him, so she was responsible for him, and she just needed to know he was going to be okay.
Right. She needed to know. She knew Scully's okay.
She
knows Bill's okay.
Right.
She had this question that had mm-hmm. been plaguing her for years, and it was a question she didn't she couldn't have
yeah.
any longer. She right. knew she was dying, and that's who she asked
and
for.
And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you hear certain real life stories about people having, you know, moments of lucidity right before they pass. Mm-hmm. When, you know, like, whether they're, you know, Alzheimer's patients or people with dementia and so forth. Like, just, it's sometimes just kind of like this beautiful little miracle that allows them to just, like, tie up that one.
Right.
So, no, Scully did not have that moment of closure with her mother, but she understands as a mother who, you know, doesn't know where her child is,
yeah.
doesn't know the fate of her child, but she knows she's responsible for him. And so she understands why her mom did that.
Right.
And that
she
was really beautiful and sad.
That question, there's mm-hmm. this connection between her and her mother, which is very sad that it happens after her mother passes, mm-hmm. but there's a connection and an understanding yeah. across a certain plane that not everyone mm-hmm. is going to understand. And
right.
it was beautiful.
Right. And I guess, and you know, I mean, Dana has such, again, when I refer to her with her mother, Dana has had such a close relationship with her mother that, I mean, I guess not having that final moment of realization or recognition together,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, it didn't feel like they had unfinished business. Like, it felt like they
no.
had a very complete relationship.
Right.
A continuous, complete relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, other than, you know, the quarter and the
yeah.
stuff with the living will and all
yeah.
of that, to be perfectly honest, I think that stuff is going to come back. I think that's going to be explained. Part of me kind of feels like maybe that quarter, you know, because Scully makes a point of saying it's not any of our birthdays.
Yeah,
it's not her
yeah.
anniversary,
mm-hmm.
whatever. I think maybe it's William's birthday and Scully doesn't even realize looking at it because she's not thinking that her mother would ever have something with Will. I feel like...
Okay, I kind of had that thought too, but mm-hmm. then I thought Scully might realize that because I was like, well... Because she even mentioned something. Like, she knew and she mentioned him, but
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with just not knowing. I was like, good on you, Margaret, having
yeah.
a little mystery.
Having your own life and your own stuff.
But
yeah.
it is an interesting thing. It's not like she had a piece of fashion jewelry that Dana had never seen before.
Right.
This was a specific totem of something. Like,
right.
this was not just your average, you know. Again,
run of the mill
piece of jewelry from Macy's or whatever.
Order. Right. I'm
yeah.
very interested. I hope mm-hmm. I hope that comes back. Not because, again, yeah, I feel the same way. I don't need to know.
Maybe it's CSM.
But I don't need the closure. Oh, could you? That guy has been in more pants. Could you imagine?
Maybe.
But I do. I hope
That's
it has
funny.
Something to do
yeah.
with him.
Actually, you're more of a, I think the thought just like flashed through my head for a moment, but then I discarded it just as quickly, was about it being William. But because
mm-hmm.
I just didn't, like, no, Scully would know that.
Right. Or the state that the quarter's from. Something.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
got to be something, and you can't.
It was an Eagle Quarter. When did they
oh.
start the states?
Oh, geez.
Uh-huh.
Well.
2000?
I don't know. Maybe I should look it up because
yeah.
I have the computer machine.
So, I mean, like, that whole thing was really, really, you know, that moment together. Again, it was just so wonderful. Like
yeah.
seeing them, you know, talk and, yeah, there are certain things that don't have to be said or shouldn't be said at the moment, but they're not. 2000?
1999.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So
okay.
he wouldn't have been born yet.
No, he wouldn't have, but
no.
they're still out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They were still in production. And because they didn't release all the states at once.
No, yeah.
And
it
they
was
were still producing bit. Regular Eagle. So.
Right. Yeah, no, that ending scene with them
yeah.
was just a nice reminder. I'm going to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get yelled at. But a nice reminder that their relationship is
mm-hmm.
extremely important
mm-hmm.
without the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Mulder and Scully had never had a child or never had a romantic relationship or lived together or whatever,
right.
they would have still been sitting there by that lake
mm-hmm.
when Scully's mother passed away.
Right.
And it was just a nice reminder of
mm-hmm.
how important they are to each other.
Yeah.
And it was hard. The whole thing was just hard.
Yeah, it was hard. Okay, so now something I did read after the fact was that this episode was shot as the second episode of the season.
Ooh.
So this should have actually aired before we saw the dream sequences.
Right?
Was that in episode one? Or, was My Struggle? Was it My Struggle?
It was My Struggle and Founder's Mutation. I think the dream sequences were in episode two, Founder's Mutation. Okay. So yeah, so it would have been this, so, then that.
So the William showing up on her phone, mm-hmm. or her seeing him, and then, you know, them talking like, do you think about him? And, you know.
Oh, right.
So that originally was supposed to be after. So the dream sequence was supposed to be after this episode. And the only thing that they really changed was that the lead detective said, I heard you guys were into the spooky stuff. Mm-hmm. It originally, if this had run in episode two, it would have been, no, not anymore. Like, that was right. That was the response. So I don't really know why they changed it. But again, this is why, you know, what I had read. So
right. I if that's true, I think it worked out much better this way.
I do too.
Yeah.
Because putting it out there for us to sort of ponder why they were having these, you know, thoughts, and maybe right. they had them all the time. Like, maybe this is something that they're constantly dealing with, and now, you know, signs of, you know, the possibility of William back in the picture in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Kind of there.
This,
so.
Yeah, and this is much better. I like mm-hmm. the idea of them having these thoughts and these dreams and everything else. And I thought it was great. Yeah. And during that episode, I thought Founder's Mutation was actually maybe. I love that episode. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm glad they did it this way, because I wouldn't have wanted them to have this conversation, mm-hmm. then seen the dream sequences, mm-hmm. and feel like, well, they planted this in each other's yeah. head. I like it better this way. I right. like that this is going on in both of their minds, and maybe, and they don't know.
And now they're talking about it. Right. Now right. the dialogue is there. So yeah. And I really believe the Founder's Mutation played better as the second episode, because it, you know, the new information about, you know, the DOJ and their the testing, and that it wasn't actually alien abduction, it was human abduction with alien testing and so forth.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like those two episodes, I feel like the impact of Founder's Mutation would have been lessened if it had distance between that and the pilot.
Yeah. So I think those two episodes really did go mm-hmm. yeah. perfectly together. Yeah. Again, they just keep doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah. And again, they, you know, like, they keep giving us fun little Easter eggs, you know, like that scene when they go down into the basement and their flashlight streams cross. Seriously.
I know.
That was really great.
I know. And that was all very cute. I love that. Yeah. Mulder does seem, he does have this kind of, not that he didn't always have a funness about him, yeah. and kind of a little bit of a lightness that was totally in contrast to his dark.
Right.
But because he has aged, you see, like, he seems to not be taking himself very seriously. And, yeah. and just because that's kind of something you learn as you get older, that things really aren't mm-hmm. as, even when the things I deal with are that serious yeah. and are crazy, life is still kind of funny. And the older you get, I think you kind of realize that more and more. And I like to see him mm-hmm. embracing that part of being whatever yeah. age he is.
And yeah. there's very little he hasn't seen at this point.
Right.
And
so it's,
he kind of knows the way it's going to play out. He's like, yep. Yeah, I'm going to have a suspicion about something. I'm going to see the proof, and it's going to be taken away or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. That's just a typical day for Mulder.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, any other thoughts or fun tidbits from this episode?
Oh, my. I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Oh, my. Who am I? Where did that come from?
Egads.
Yeah, right.
That's okay. Candy says washroom as well.
I do.
You do. It's adorable.
I don't think that's so weird.
Well, because A, it's 2000s, and B, we're not in the UK.
Whatever.
All right.
I always forget I say it until someone says something about it. So I say, where's your washroom or your restroom? And people look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I went to Europe, and we were staying in this really old hotel, and my college roommate and I were sharing a hotel room, and we kept seeing this one room that had WC on it, and she thought it was the WC Fields room. Like, she kind of thought, like, it was an old-timey hotel. Maybe mm-hmm. they were different, like, on different floors, they had different stars or old-timey celebrities. I'm like, that's the water closet.
Which is so funny, because I was just going to say, at least I don't say water closet.
I know, right? That does sound even worse.
Yeah, right?
All right. Well, this was fun. Two more episodes.
I know. I can't. I'm just, again, real excited. We're going to have dinner soon.
Yes.
And then I'm going to deal with the fact that there's only two episodes of The X-Files left tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes. I know. Mm. So much hope. So much excitement.
Lots of emotions.
All that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Tell us what you're thinking of the show, what you like, what you don't like. Our email is MulderIt'sUsPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on iTunes at Mulder It's Us and X-Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Mulder It's Us and on Candy's website, Candy Presents. And also follow us on Twitter, Candy at Candy Presents, and myself at Jenny B. Creative. And for the Mulder It's Us podcast, I've been Jen.
I've been Candy.
See you next week.